Good morning. Our passage this morning is from Genesis chapter 12. We'll be reading verses 1 through 3 when we get to that reading. You can look it up in your Bible, on your Bible app, or we'll have it on the screen behind me when we get to it. Have y'all heard the saying, I believe it when I see it? For some reason, that's one that we use in our family pretty often. My mom used to say, hide and watch. And so basically, you just wait, I'll show you, and I mean what I say is kind of what that saying says. One of the things about Jesus is, when he was crucified, people didn't understand who he was, right? But they should have. They should have. And the reason that they should have is because he came and he did exactly what God promised he would do. And so we're going to look and see that God promised us something, and then he made it happen. And so let's look now at Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in all the families of the earth, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And this is the word of the Lord. And praise be to God. So Abram has his family together, right? They're living in an area. They're settled. And God says, okay, Abram, this is before he became Abraham. Okay, Abram, what I want you to do is I want you to take your tents. I want you to take your family, and I want you to go where I tell you to go. I want you to leave where you're comfortable. I want you to leave where things might be set up, and I want you to travel and go where I tell you to go. You don't know where I'm telling you to go, but you're going to go. Imagine how much faith it took in that time to just pick up everything and go somewhere that you don't even know where you're going. But God said, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. I'm asking you to be obedient. And in your obedience, you're going to see my blessings come. In Acts chapter 3, verse 17 through 26, this is Peter talking to the people of Israel. He says, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance." You acted in ignorance. You had absolutely no clue who Jesus was. And so what you did kind of makes a little more sense because you were stupid about it. "And brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out." Repent. Because God has made his Christ suffer. And y'all were there to see it. Y'all were there to witness it through the person of Jesus Christ. "That time comes of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers.'" Jesus, a fellow Israelite. "You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days, 'You are the sons of the prophet and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Sorry. There it goes. So he said, Abram, go. Through you, I'm going to bless all of the nations. Through you, all of the nations will be blessed. And then Peter is saying, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first. He sent Jesus to the Israelites first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. Peter's speaking to people who should have known who Christ was. And he's saying, you guys were ignorant. Y'all didn't know what you were doing when you crucified him. But in the act of crucifying Jesus, you were fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament that the Christ would suffer. So, first things first, God sent him to you. So, take the blinders off and recognize who he is at this moment. God made this promise and he kept it. And you can leave the blinders on or you can wake up to the truth of who he is. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. What happened to him was according to God's plan. The beauty of knowing who Jesus Christ is even though you in ignorance sent him to the cross, you don't have to carry around that shame because guess what? It was God's plan for that to happen. If you recognize who he is now and you place your faith in him, there is forgiveness. Even in your ignorance as you killed him, there is forgiveness because of what he's done for you. Because God ordained it to be that way. Jesus died with a purpose. Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. There was a purpose. God sent him. God sent him to do something that didn't make sense at the time. Because why would God sacrifice his only son for sinners, for people who acted out of ignorance and killed that son? Why would God do that? He's going back to the Old Testament to convince the Jewish people that Jesus was the one that God would send. And the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. All the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. And what he is saying is that Jesus came from among us. He is a brother. He is an Israelite. Peter is saying, this is the one that God said would come. This is the one that God said he would use to bless the nations. And he sent him first to you, and you need to wake up to who he is. Jesus is in the line of Abraham. He's in the line of Isaac. He's in the line of Jacob. He's in the line of Ruth. Isn't it interesting that they put Ruth in the genealogy? Ruth, who is Ruth? The grandmother of David. He's in the line of Jesse. He's in the line of David, in the line of Solomon. That brings us through the progression to Jesus Christ. In Matthew 1, it gives the genealogy. And I know this is long, but I want to read it because it's important to know that we can trace Jesus' line all the way back to Abraham. To Abraham. Which is important because God said, through you, I will bless the nations. So in Matthew, it says this. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon. Nahshon the father of Solomon, Solomon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asa, Asa the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jeroham, the father of Uzziah, Uzziah, the father of Jotham, Jotham, the father of Ahaz, Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, Manasseh, the father of Amon, Amon, the father of Josiah, and Josiah, the father of Jehoiakim, Jeconiah. And his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abihud. Abihud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Akim. Akim, the father of Elihud. Elihud, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Mathan. Mathan, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Detail was given to show that Jesus' line could be traced all the way back to Abram. Without breaking, that line is never broken. Jesus was born in the city of David. We talked about that last week. The city of David has importance because it shows that Jesus was the descendant of David, a son of David, the sprout of the tree of Jesse. But I want to say that genealogy isn't complete. From Jesus, it goes forward. It goes on through Jesus to include who? Anyone who places their faith in Him. God makes a promise that if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, He adopts you as one of His sons or daughters. So if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you are adopted, you are a son, a daughter, you are a descendant of Jesus Christ, of God the Father, who is a descendant of Abraham. Father Abraham has many sons, and many sons has Father Abraham, and I am one of them. And so are you. Right? God painstakingly in His Word shows us that we belong to Him and we are a member of the family of Abraham, and the promises that God made to Abraham and his descendants are promises that He made to us through our faith in Jesus Christ. And what did Christ do to make sure that those promises applied to us? Well, He did the unthinkable. He died for us. Why should we ever ask God to sacrifice His Son for us? We shouldn't. We are messed up. We are broken. We are sinners. We do things wrong every day. We offend Him in every way through our sin. But our offense to Him doesn't change His love for us. And so what we should never ask Him to do, He did it because He loved us. He sent His Son into the world to live with a purpose. The purpose was to overcome our imperfection by being perfect. And then to overcome our sin by sacrificing Himself on the cross and applying His blood to all of those who would place their faith in Him so that we are forgiven. That was His purpose. And why did He do it? Because He loved us. What held Jesus to the cross? It was His love for His people. His love for the nations. His love for Abraham and all of those in the line of Abraham, including all of us who have placed our faith in Him. And if you have not placed your faith in Him, it's this easy. God forgives you. God is calling you to Himself. You are here today to hear that He wants you to profess Jesus Christ as your Savior so that you can know Him as we do. Not to live like we do, because we are all still messed up and broken. There's no judgment here. But to live according to the gospel in obedience to Him for the love that He has shown to you. God wants you at His table. Each and every one of you, we need to be reminded daily of the gospel that God loves us so that in those moments of doubt, we can look back to the sacrifice that He made for us and say, who could love us more? Who could love anyone more than how God loves us? I love my children greatly. I love my wife with passion. But can I love them as well as God loves them? No. Because His passion didn't even spare the life of His own Son to show us how much we are loved in His sight. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that He may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Salvation comes to those who believe in Him. Sin is wiped out through Him. All people on the earth are blessed through the seed of Abraham. When I was in seminary in my Hebrew class, Hebrew, right? The professor told us to go to the library and do a word study on the word offspring or seed and see how many times it comes up. And it comes up over and over and over and over again. And the reason it does is because He wants us to draw that line. He wants us to draw that line from Adam all the way to Christ. And understand that that line can be extended all the way to us. And why does He want us to understand that that line can be extended all the way to us? It's because He made promises to those people. And He said, it is to your descendants that these promises will be extended. And if we are counted in that line, we know that salvation is for us. We know that forgiveness is for us. We know that redemption is for us. We know that peace is for us. Hope is for us. And all those things come true through Jesus Christ. But even the greater promise that was made is that eternal life is for all of those who have placed their faith in Christ. God said, "This is what I'm going to do." And we can look at Christ and we can say, He did it. Because he said he would. He said he would. An all-powerful, loving, passionate God said he would love us. And he did. And he did. By God's grace, we are his through our faith in the one that came to earth on Christmas. It may not be the exact day, it may not be the exact season that we celebrated on, but he did come. He came to bring hope and salvation and light to a dark world. God said he would bless the world, and he did. Amen. Let's pray. God, you have so much devotion for people that showed very little devotion before we knew you. God, we pray that each and every day you would transform our hearts to live into service for you. But we pray, God, that our obedience doesn't become a labor of trying to make ourselves right, but our obedience becomes a labor of love. To demonstrate to you how much we are grateful for all that you have done to us. You made promises to your people. And then you promised that through your people, the world would be blessed, the nation would be blessed. And that promise was extended to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We praise you. We glorify you. Because you said what you were going to do, and you did it. And there is no greater thing, no greater treasure, no greater love in the world than what you have shown to us. So, Lord, remind us of that blessing as we celebrate this Christmas, and help us to remember to take that truth into the world. Everyone needs to know the devotion that you have for them. And we get to be your messengers. So help us to do it faithfully and boldly, sharing with our neighbors, our families, sharing with strangers in the supermarket, because we love you. God, we pray this in the matchless name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.